Good morning. I'm Todd Zwillick. I'm here for John Hockenberry, and I'm across from Celeste Headlee. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, Celeste, lawmakers in the House are expected to vote today on legislation that proposes huge regulatory changes to Wall Street. So we're back with Andrew Ross Sorkin, chief acquisitions and mergers correspondent for our partners, the New York Times. He covers the very institutions that are going to be affected by these regulations. He's also author of Too Big to Fail, the inside story of how Wall Street and Washington fought to save the financial system. We're also joined by Andrew Beauvais. He's an analyst with Rockdale Securities in Florida, an expert on these big banks. Andrew, I want to start with you and a few quick questions about this planned regulation, some of the hard news here. What this bill does the most, there's Consumer Protection Agency, there's banning some of the credit default swaps, banning subprime mortgages that got us into so much trouble. What parts of this bill are the best? What is this really going to do to immunize the system?
Well, the most important part of this bill was something called resolution authority, which is this idea that we can now unwind a financial institution in an orderly way. So when you think of what happened to a Lehman Brothers or you think of what happened to an AIG, up until now there's been no ability to unwind a hedge fund or an investment bank or an insurance company in any meaningful way without that cascading through the system. So effectively you're able to put one of these firms that looks like it's starting to get into trouble into a conservatorship, in the same way they did with Fannie and Freddie, in the same way, frankly, that the FDIC does.
Now, just help me real quick with unwind. That basically means break up, sell off, and shut down, right?
Break up, exactly. But by the way, you would only use this authority when things get bad. So this is not about breaking the firms up today. This is not they're too big to fail, let's break them up today. This is when they look like they're getting in trouble, instead of letting them file for bankruptcy, stepping in the same way that the FDIC does to take them over.
But to a certain extent, I mean, to talk about what's going to go into this financial regulation, we're still very early on. We have no idea what's actually going to end up.
Well, let's put that out there. This is all very, very early days, and to see what we actually get in the end, what passes in the Senate, what actually gets signed by the president, there is a long way to go, and there's already a lot of pushback on Wall Street and elsewhere against a variety of things, including, by the way, something called the Consumer Financial Protection Agency, which has been proposed by the Democrats to sensibly protect consumers when it comes to mortgages and credit cards and things like that. There's already pushback on that. That's an amendment that I think we'll hear about a lot today. There's issues around derivatives, what's going to go on a clearinghouse to add some transparency to the system, and what is still going to be allowed to stay off of it, which will remain opaque. So there's still lots of issues outstanding.
And there's plenty of controversy to come on the role of the Fed. This House bill is pretty lenient on the Fed, but the Senate, at least some in the Senate, really want to crack down on the authority of the Fed and transparency at the Fed. Richard Beauvais, you're an expert on these very banks that Congress is trying to rein in. Do you think this bill will work? Can Congress really do anything to tame the Wild West that was Wall Street, or do they just exploit the next loophole?
Well, this bill is very significant. It's going to change the nature of how the banking industry in the United States operates. It's attempting to solve the problems that showed up a year ago, which specifically would be that these banks had borrowed too much money in the short-term debt markets and therefore exposed themselves to runs. It's going to attempt to change the fact that their assets were too illiquid, in other words, that the banks did not have enough money invested in areas which could immediately be used to pay off runs.
Yeah,
it's attempting to deal with the fact that the banks had taken too much risk in the way they constructed their balance sheets. And, of course, it's attempting to come down on all aspects of fraud that may have showed up in the system. In the process of doing that, it will make the banking system in the United States far safer than it's been, we'll say, in a couple of decades. But at the same time, it will pretty much take the banks out of the mainstream of the financial industry in the overall global system, which means that it runs the risk of weakening the ability of the United States economy to grow, and it also runs the risk of shrinking our ability to compete, you know, around the world with financial giants that are being developed in Brazil, in India, in China, and elsewhere. So bottom line, it makes everything safer, but the unintended consequences, it will definitely hurt the economy and slow down the growth of the banking industry.
All right, it's the age-old conflict in this country, balancing regulation and restraint with the wild horse of capitalism. But I want to turn around to TARP right now, and I want to play you a clip from Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner on the Troubled Assets Relief Program.
This strategy requires a limited temporary extension of the authority provided by the Congress under the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act. It would be irresponsible to do otherwise.
Andrew Ross Sorkin, what the Treasury Secretary is talking about is the renewal of TARP. They're going to let that program go for, I think, another 8 months or a year. This means that even though the banks are paying back their TARP money now, they're not out of the water yet?
Yes and no. So the great paradox of this decision is that some of the biggest banks that you've been hearing about, Bank of America returning $45 billion, Goldman Sachs early, J.P. Morgan early, giving that money back. There has been a lot of money we've gotten back, and that's all good news. The bad news is that we've created a two-tiered system, and many of the community banks, the smaller banks in our country, are still relying on that TARP money, won't be giving it back anytime soon, and frankly, some of them may need it still.
Richard Beauvais down in Florida, do we have a danger of a two-tiered system here?
Yeah, it's already been established. I think that, we're in a situation where the large banks in the United States have liquefied their balance sheets, have shifted their funding sources, and are able to operate again in a pretty normal fashion in the economy if the Congress doesn't stop them. There are another large number of banks that basically cannot do any of the above because they lack the appropriate funding, they lack the ability to get funding, and their balance sheets are locked with illiquid assets. Now, the issue, however, is does that matter? Because the four biggest banks in the United States have more than 50% of the assets of the American banking system, and those banks which have over $20 billion in assets, which would be the 30 biggest banks in the country, have 75% of the assets of the banking system, which means that there's 8,100 banks that have 24%. Those 8,100 banks, while very important to the people who operate with them or who do business with them, are not important to the U.S. economy.
Andrew Ross Sorkin, how are we doing on compensation? How are we doing on bonuses? We were talking earlier this morning about Goldman sort of backloading their bonuses in the form of stock. Of course, Citigroup is still under the bonus yoke because they're still taking TARP money and can't pay it back. What's the state of the bonus game now?
Well, I think actually the biggest shift or biggest news was actually what we heard on Wednesday out of the UK, which was this decision to actually tax bonuses from 2009. And you're hearing that they're going to do that in France as well. The Goldman Sachs news was big in that everybody's just getting stock, no cash at all. However, you're still going to see big headline numbers. The numbers, the overall numbers, are not going to change. The good news is they're probably being more properly incentivized. The larger question is whether the public is willing to still accept those big numbers.
Is the public still willing to accept big $40 billion bonuses? I'm speculating, but it can be in stock, it can be in cash. A bonus is a bonus. That's Andrew Ross Sorkin, Chief Acquisitions and Mergers Correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. He's author of Too Big to Fail, The Inside Story of How Wall Street and Washington Fought to Save the Financial System. Richard Beauvais joined us from Florida. He's an analyst with Rockdale. We're talking about TARP and about Congress voting today on Wall Street regulation. Now, on Monday, we'll be speaking with Elizabeth Warren. She's on the Congressional Oversight Panel that's overseeing the TARP bailout. In fact, she's the chairman of it, so tune in on Monday. She'll be with us.